We have been here. This is the last few days, but it seems like we got here 17 days ago, and I've walked up those stairs like 12 times, and it's been a great privilege. Michael and Brandon, we've known for a long time, and now we're just beginning to work with them really hand in hand in a very close way in the assignment that we all have with the Vineyard nationally. And as I talk, you're going to realize that I'm not from around here. We're from the Northeast, Jan and I. This is my wife, Jan. We've been married 37 years. We have two grown children, six grandchildren. This is all we've ever done our entire adult life. I met Christ when I was 16 and met Jan at the same time. And in 3 weeks after I met her, I asked the Lord if I could marry her. And I told my parents I wanted to marry her. And they said, well, maybe you should get out of high school first, at least. And I said, all right, I don't know what the fuss is, but I'll wait. So I did, and 3 days after I graduated from high school, Jan and I got married, finished high school on the 11th of June, got married the 14th of June, 5 days of fishing, and then we went off to Brazil for our first mission assignment together in 1975, and from that day forward, this is all we've ever done. We've pastored churches, planted churches here, Brazil, Chile, and helped with church planting around the globe. So we're just thrilled to be a part of this. One of the things I've learned about the Christian walk and the dynamic of being a Jesus follower is that it's very dynamic. And by that, I do not mean that it's exciting and wow all the time and electric. It's just that it's never the same, and it goes from season to season. There's always something happening. There's nothing static about it. And this morning, several months ago, when Michael and Brenda contacted me about the Midwest conference that we had this past week, normally, wherever I am, I go home on a Saturday because I also pastor a church, and so I try to get home at least by late Saturday night, so I'm there on Sunday. But they said, would you stay for Sunday and share with the Duluth Vineyard, which is really a privilege and a delight. I've known of this church. I was here, I think, about 10 years ago, something like that. And so I said, yes, I would love to. And as soon as we hung up the phone, and I honestly can't remember who I had the conversation with, either Brenda or Michael. The Lord said, and this is what I want you to bring to the Vineyard in Duluth. It was immediate. It was clear. There was no ambiguity to it. I sort of prepared in my mind, sketched an outline. It took me about 30 seconds. And today, last night and today, I'm delivering that word that I really felt was specifically for the church. It's not a talk that I've done in any other church really in the Vineyard. So I think it's something exclusive. One of the things I have found, like you probably, is that this pilgrimage called the Christian life and the life of a local church, it's not static, it is dynamic. And I've titled my talk this morning, Unusual Things That the Lord Asks of Us. How many of you have read the Bible? Any part of the, any Bible readers, you've read the Bible? It's a strange book, isn't it? I mean, really, have you read the stories? Have you ever been reading the Bible and you go, are you kidding? Anybody? You're just reading along, and you know, and you start feeling all holy, and all of a sudden you come to a strange part. And God says, tell the prophet to go naked for 3 years. Well, I'd be arrested today. I mean, there's strange things written in here. But it's, you know, which is not my message for the Duluth Vineyard, by the way, but... the big idea, if I do my job over the next 20 minutes, I'm going to communicate this one thought. It is never safe to think that certainly the Lord would not ask that of me. And you have to fill in the blanks. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, Jesus, when he was walking in the Middle East at his time on the earth, he said some things that were just like, ooh. Like the day he said to the disciples, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. Now, if you were living 2,000 years ago, and there's this guy sort of, you know, in his Birkenstocks going around the countryside and doing these nice little fireside chats, and all of us, and you're there, and he says, people, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me, what would you have thought? You wouldn't have been taking notes, saying, ooh, that's deep. That's wonderful, yes. You'd have thought, that's weird, man. That's a cult. That guy's weird. Yes, you would. And if you don't think you would, if you're in serious case of denial, and Brenda can help you. But anyways, This is just a part of it. And I think it is we because of being a follower of Jesus and we have the writings of Jesus and the thoughts of Jesus, and we can look in a sense historically, and we can extract from the sacred writings, the ancient scriptures, and we can say, okay, Lord, okay. But the fact of the matter is the Lord continues to do and ask unusual things of people in their journey. And I believe that also applies to churches. I've chosen a text this morning that is just an illustration of this. It could have been one of 100, but it's one of these that if we unpack it a little bit, we'll see it. And then I want to bring an application to the reality here that I feel for this congregation. So 1 Kings chapter 17. If you'd open there with me, 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to read this short story. Give you a second to get there. Yeah. Let me read it to you. Now, Elijah the Tishbite, this is a time where Israel, it's not really going well with Israel. It's not going well for the people of God. There's paganism reigning in the land. Ahab is just he's a bad king. And God's got some judgment here, a way of dealing with it. And Elijah is the person. See, God really knows how to orchestrate things. And the time, and if we put ourselves in the moment here, the times demanded an intervention. And Elijah was the man God chose to intervene. So in a sense, the time demanded an Elijah, and Elijah was the man for the time. And I'm going to loop back to that when I talk about the Duluth Vineyard. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these 3 years except by my word." The prophet announces a drought. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please, get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl, and a little oil in the jar, and behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die." That's encouraging. Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go, do as you've said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son." That's so kind of him. "For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day of the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. She and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. What a story. Wow, that's one of those when I read along I go, what a jerk. I mean, think about it. Just take the narrative of this story out of the Bible. There's a drought going on. And the drought was announced by this guy, Elijah. Elijah is told very, very clearly, go stay at the brook Cherith and wait there because I'm going to send the ravens and they're going to bring you meat and bread. Drink out of the brook. You're good because it's not safe where you are. So go over there. So the Lord told him exactly what to do. He got his orders, and he did it. Very, very important. But something that's so important here is verse 7. And that is where it says, it happened for a while that the, happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. What was once a provision no longer could be a provision. When I started out, I said, remember, the pilgrimage is dynamic. Being a follower of Jesus, you go through seasons of your life, and it's a dynamic of God keeping us moving in our journey as we grow. Like in your career, you know, you reach a place, and I'm sure many of you have reached places in your life, you just said, wow, if I could just stay right here, this is good. I'm good, I'm happy, things are going okay. And just as you just sort of settle in and the Lord says, okay, let's do it. Next step. You go, no, wait. This is good. I'm good. And the Lord said, no, let's keep going. Because we're not done until we're done. And you go, doggone, I just sort of made the adjustment to this season of my life. And God says, hooray, hang on, Pee-wee, we're going for a ride. And you've been providing for me, Lord. And he says, well, watch this brook dry up. What's he doing? This thing is a dynamic thing. I feel bad for people in a sense, and not in a condescending way, but maybe people that have never experienced the dynamic of just being a follower of Jesus and letting God orchestrate life for us. Because it's really quite an adventure to be a Jesus follower. And this guy, Elijah, is doing... You know, he's doing heavy-duty stuff with God. So God said, I'll provide for you. He does exactly what the Lord says, and it happens. All of a sudden, God says, okay, that gig's over. We're getting on to the next thing. And he says, verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belonged to Sidon, stay there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. Wow, this is where the story really gets good. I mean... I don't know if the Lord ahead of time told her. The narrative really doesn't say. There's no way for us to impose further commentary into the scriptures to say exactly how this thing unfolded. But the Lord says, I've told a widow there in Zarephath, which is in enemy territory, by the way, that she's going to provide for you. Now, I don't know if God had told the widow or it had to unfold. I would lean towards this sort of unfolding in a dynamic way of sort of poking and prodding to see how safe it was. But finally, Elijah gets to Zarephath and he enters into the city. And it's really quite a thing here. I want to get verse 10. Verse 10, I want to read that to you. So he arose, he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow. Now get the scene as it's being painted here. Behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. Now she had no provider. She was taking care of her son. She's widowed. She's in a drought. Now, I don't know, but it's not painting a picture really of a very pretty scene, is it? She's emaciated, and this is how it goes down. There's a lady gathering some sticks. He called to her and he says, may I have a drink of water? And in a very Middle Eastern etiquette, she said, absolutely. And as she was going to get it, he says to her, and I don't know if he's saying, is this the gal? Is this not? It's really not clear, but he says, oh, would you also bring me a piece of bread in your hand? First of all, you got to see this skinny little lady, emaciated, about ready to die from thirst and die from hunger. And she's just sort of like gathering some sticks so she can go back in and make a little fire, make one. She's got enough flour for one little more cake of bread. And the man of God comes along and says, hey, could you get me something to drink? And, oh, by the way, could you bring me some bread? So when he says, can you bring me some bread, verse 12, but she said, as the Lord your God lives, little sarcasm here, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar, and behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. She's like, you've got to be kidding me. And verse 13 is where the unusual request comes in. Elijah says, okay, but make sure you give me the first cake that comes from this next batch. What would you have thought? What would you have thought if you were that woman? Huh? I know what Janie would have thought. And after witnessing Michael and Brenda's exchange, I know what Brenda would have said. If Michael had said, hey, Brenda, yeah, me first. See, we have this thing of like, of course, the man of God is there to take care of the widow. The man of God is going to bring provision to the widow. The man of God is going to bring provision to the lady who is starving to death and is a widow, so there's no other provider. He's going to come and be the provision. But it really gets totally messed around, and the Lord set it up so he has the audacity to walk in and say, oh, could I have a drink? And by the way, could I have a cake? Can I have a piece of bread? And she goes, dude, that is vernacular of today. Dude, I'm like at, 36 kilos at this point. I weigh 80 pounds. I'm 4'10". I have no husband. There's no food in the land. We're in a drought. I'm about to die. And you say, bring you a piece of cake? Catch the scene? It's totally upside down, as it appears. Verse 14. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour will not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty, until the day that the Lord send rain on the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Eli. She did exactly what she was told to do, and there was divine provision in it. But it was just an upside down way of getting there. What an unusual thing. I love that story because I just think through our journey, if we're going to live in the dynamic reality of God being our God and leading us on our journey, then we're going to have experiences where you just go, there's going to be your family members sometimes will say, God wouldn't ask you to do that. You're going to look yourself in the mirror and say, God wouldn't ask me to do that. And God said, yes, I would. Yep, I would. Because I know where that leads. And he says, and I know how I'm going to provide for the widow. So much so that this story is told by Jesus in Luke 4. When Jesus walks into the temple and he quotes the famous scripture from Isaiah 60 when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the blind, to talk about the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he goes on to bring up this experience with this woman. So this is pretty famous, actually. It's an upside-down kingdom. And I thought of coming to Duluth, knowing how Michael and Brenda, what they've been doing for many, many years in the vineyard, in an incredible way, and what God is doing with the Duluth vineyard, and its influence in the vineyard, not only here in Minnesota, but actually throughout the Midwest and around the country. This is the passage that popped into my mind to share with you. Because in a sense, and here's my first question, why is the Lord asking so much from the Vineyard Church of Duluth? Why is the Lord asking so much from this church? Michael is, as you know, has been named, I think it was last year, as the director of church planting for the Vineyard. And we're a church planting movement, and we've been going now 25, 30 years. We're at an intersection. There's been a lot of changes in the last several months. We're about to have a change in the leadership, a change in the executive board. We've gone from 8 regions to 16. We have also just bitten off a whole vision over the next 10 years of planting 750 new congregations across America. And Michael is really introducing that, in a sense, carrying that and bringing that to the vineyard. And so we are in we're in a time of acceleration, incredible vision and execution. And Michael and Brenda, both, they're two of the leaders in our movement around the country. Brenda is one of the first ladies that's ever been asked to be a regional leader. She is a pioneer. She's overseeing about 46 churches. She's an incredible leader. Michael is an incredible leader. He is getting traction with young people across from sea to shining sea, from across the fruited plains. This couple, your senior pastors, are being used in an incredible way in the Vineyard movement. And I basically have come to, and I just want to say thank you for being the Duluth Vineyard. And to whom much is given, much is required. And the Lord seems to be saying, would you share your pastor a little bit with other places around the country? Now, they live here, they're staying here, they are rooted here, they're committed to this church. They are going nowhere. But the fact of the matter is that Michael's not around quite as much as he used to be. Now, I don't know if he told you he'd been traveling with me all summer. I haven't seen him, but... but he is. And he's being used. And I would say, well, gee, you know, hey, you might be thinking, hey, what about us? We love these guys. Michael hasn't been here for a few weeks. Where's Michael? You know, I don't know. You guys could like start a contest or something. Where's Michael? You know, and throw something at the map. But the fact of the matter is that I have another question. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? The times were fit for Elijah, and Elijah was formed for the times. And I would look at America and I say, you know, we really need some help in this country, and I don't think we're going to get it in ways that we're crumbling at our own polemic, political, ideological stands from left to right in this country. You know what we need? We need some churches like Duluth, the Vineyard of Duluth. And we need churches like this church all over the United States. And I think I'm asking you a little bit this morning, is it okay if Michael helps us and Brenda helps us do this as they continue to pastor this church? Would you sort of share with us a little bit of the abundant blessing that you guys have? Will it cost you? Sure, it'll cost you. But here's another question. What if the Lord asked you, the Vineyard of Duluth, to raise up hundreds of preachers and spread them all over America and the world? And you would say, well, hold on. What about me? What about my needs? What about us? And I would say, yeah. Well, the thing about it, the Duluth Vineyard, it's been a long 3 or 4 days. I mean, I'm so sick of hearing my own voice. It's pathetic. I mean, I'm used to preaching 4 or 5 times a week in many, many different settings, but this one's going to be like a 12 or 15 talk week, so I'm getting word weary. So what was I talking about? Tithing. Yes, tithing. Yeah. No, it wasn't tithing. Was I talking about tithing? No, I know.
What about me?
What about me? What about my needs? And you might be thinking, well, hold it. Now, Susie, my daughter's getting married. Michael's been her pastor his whole life. And the weekend that we want Susie to get married, Michael's going to be in Miami with you doing some church planting conference. Yep. And, well, would God ask, you know, is that the Lord? And yep. And it's just a part of it. People are going to be coming from around the United States and literally from around the world to come here and live in Duluth for a year, 2 years, 3 years to be trained to go out across to cities, to rural areas, small-town America, big-town America, to plant churches. Now, why would we ever really think that over the next 10 years we could plant 750 new congregations in America? Really? That's kind of audacious. Isn't that a little bit high-minded? Let me ask you a question. Why would I want to be a part of a movement that did not have a vision to multiply across the United States in the condition that the United States is in? I don't want to just go to church on Sunday. I just don't want to come in, I've had two phenomenal ice mochas. I mean, not many churches have that. But, you know, so unfortunately, the last one that somebody handed me, I think had caffeine in it. I haven't had caffeine in 12 years. So I think I can talk till 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'm wired. I haven't had a caffeine buzz in years. So I may just preach through the Bible today. Now back to the serious subject, tithing. Now, it's not about coming here and having a good mocha, coming in here, listening to a phenomenal worship bands, and then the little comedy show you get during announcements, and then a great word from really good preachers, all the different preachers here, and then we sort of go out and throw our ice mocha empty thing in a can, and we go out, drive off, say, what a wonderful church. It's more than that. You guys have loved this city. You're serving this city. This church works because you all are pitching in. Everybody ministers around here. The technical staff and the office staff and the greeters. And I mean, I was greeted 17 times from the front door to the front seat. That's a good. It's a good thing I'm a people person, or I would have been a little irritated. Because they invaded my space. Hey, thank you. Welcome. Hey, welcome. Thank you. Hey, welcome. Thank you. It's like, can I just get to my seat? No, it's a good thing. But this word church works because you're all pitching in. And therefore, the Lord takes that and you know, here's the thing about it. This is what I think about the Vineyard in the years to come. Over the last 10 years, the reason we're willing to bite off this audacious thing of planting 750 new congregations is because over the last 10 years, we have planted 800 churches outside the U.S., Vineyard churches. So when somebody says, that's a little, Phil, you really, and it's now, we just really feel nudged to really laser in here in the U.S. and really go after multiplying the congregations. And we're really saying we could really use, if you'd lend us and participate by some of the time when Michael's not here, instead of saying, where's our pastor, say, thank God the influence of the Duluth Vineyard is being spread across the United States. That's what's happening. So when people come here, they're going to stay for a few years, and then they're going to be going out and planting. Let me tell you something. There's such a desire all over the world of young people and middle-aged people, second career people, people that have already, you know, they've already worked their life. They're getting ready to retire. They're ready for a second assignment. They're going to come. They're going to be here. They're going to your Heroic Leadership Institute, which is going to become a part of a network of Heroic Leadership Institutes. It's going to train young people from 18 to 23, 18 to 25 age group. So we don't just lose. You know, everyone's got a voice for that age group. I just want to say, I want to call every young person in America to consider church planting and giving their lives to the cause of Christ. And I think a lot of those are going to, their path's going to lead right through the Duluth Vineyard. So you're going to get your hearts broke a few times. Somebody's going to come here, and they're going to become a part of Duluth, and you're going to love them, and they're going to love you, and they're going to pour in. They're going to, you know, win the people to Christ, and they're going to become a part of the fabric of this church. And you're going to say, this is awesome. And then they're going to say, we're leaving. We're planting a church in Wichita, Kansas. And you're going to go, oh, but you're part of our heart. Now you're going to go, okay, man, that's the deal. To whom much is given, much is required. And you're going to just sow them out. And the Lord says, okay, now there's a church I can trust. See, the Duluth Vineyard, the fact of the matter is you've already sown out so much to the vineyard across the country. And I think the Lord just saying, now there's a place I'm going to be able to trust. And I just think you're going to see a lot of traction. It is amazing what can be accomplished when you don't care who gets the credit. This church works because everybody helps. You're not pastorally centered. You can minister to one another. You can give words to one another. A lot of you can do funerals and weddings. A lot of you can exegete the scriptures and teach. You get an incredible mercy gift. You're not waiting for people to come inside the walls. The vineyard in Duluth is just sort of out there. You've done it. You're doing it. All I'm saying is, great, now would you lend a little of that to the whole movement? So the Lord sometimes requires more of us than we think. And it doesn't seem, well, yeah, but Phil, they're our pastors. And I say, yeah, and they're good ones. And they didn't ask me to come and share this. As a matter of fact, I didn't tell them what I was going to share. And both of their secretaries called my ministry assistant, insisting I send my notes. And it was like, I don't think so. Because I sort of knew I wanted to be able to come and just say, thank you. And Michael and Brenda would never say this about themselves. And they were a little embarrassed that I'm doing it. But I'm just telling you, they're leaders amongst leaders. I'm looking forward to working with them and you and to have this level of connection. And I want to say on behalf of the Vineyard, thank you, Duluth Vineyard, for doing so much and sowing so much into our movement. And 10 years from now, we're going to have a reunion. Everybody that's here this morning, you're invited back 10 years from today. And we're going to say, and this is what's happened over the previous 10 years. And here's how many tears you've all sown. Here's the money you've given. Here's you opened up your home. You took people in for a year. People were coming and going, and young people, and from different continents and from all over the United States. And I'm going to come back here, and I'm going to say to you, thank you. Because God asked an unusual thing from this church, more than the normal church gives. And we will see churches spread across the land because of a church like this in Duluth, Minnesota. And, you know, sometimes God asks us stuff and we feel like fools on the earth. But you know something? If you're willing to be a fool on the earth, hated in hell, that's how you become famous in heaven. And I think the Lord's got an assignment for all of you. And I'm just thrilled you're willing to do it. So let's stand. So, what do you say? Are you in? I love your enthusiasm. Are you in? Okay. I filmed that applause. I know everybody that just said they were in. And no, I really don't have that good of a mind. It's never safe to think that certainly the Lord would not ask that of me. So Holy Spirit, come and minister to our hearts right now. Thank you, Lord. Wow, what a team. Team Duluth, Team Vineyard. To your greater glory and the well-being of people all over the United States. Father, thank you for the willingness of this group, the giftings, all that you've poured into the Gatlins, and then from them to the staff, incredible staff, incredible volunteer army from Duluth Vineyard. And I'm glad, Lord, that you continue doing things like that. You continue asking unusual things. And I pray, Father, that you'd take the seeds of this church and multiply it across this country. And now, if you would just let this become an individual thing to your heart. The reason this church works is because of you all participating. And I think more is being asked of Michael and Brenda than they ever imagined. Locally here, because they're dug in, this is their church, they live and die for you. And some of that is now being sown out beyond here. And that means some of you are going to have to pick up a little bit of the slack here. And the Lord is just saying, okay, well, I invite you to ratchet up. So maybe the prayer this morning would just be an honest minute or two of silence, and we'll just say, and you could ask the Lord, Lord, am I to help out around here? And maybe I've been comfortable at where I've, you know, I sort of help out a little bit, and I make sure the trash can's empty, which is a great thing, but maybe the Lord's saying, I want you to empty two trash cans now. And I do this, but the Lord's saying, well, maybe I want to ratchet that up a little bit. And maybe, well, I've always done this here, and the Lord's saying, I know, but that brook's drying up. I want you to come, now your provision's over here. See, the life in the kingdom is a dynamic thing. It's constantly going. So here's a question, and then we'll be silent for a minute or two. Would the Lord, what would the Lord have me do in this? Father, I thank you for this congregation. And we say, Lord, to your greater glory and the well-being of people, Lord, it's amazing what can happen when we don't care who gets credit. We want the name of Jesus exalted. We want that to happen here in Duluth, Minnesota. We want it to happen in the Midwest. We want it to happen all over this country. And to that end, Lord, we commit ourselves. There's ministry prayer people who are up front and who are trained here at the Duluth Vineyard there, and they're going to be up here to pray. And what I'm going to ask you is this. Sometimes a step is a good thing. It nudges us. And I would like, if you're just willing to be, okay, I'm in. Team Duluth, Team Vineyard, I'm in. And then I want you to come up front and tell somebody up front and say, pray for me that I'll know how to help, where to fit, what I'm. And some of you, maybe you get spiritual gifts that just dormant, and let somebody pray for you. Maybe you're fairly new around here. You go, I don't know where to help, but I'm going to go up there and talk to one of these people and say, here I am. I'll help out. I'll help out so that this can go around the world. That's what it takes. Just ordinary people like you and I. Jan and I are two young people from, emphasis on young. Jan and I are two young people from a little mill town in Maine. Jan and I grew up in a town of 3,000 people if you count everything that's got legs. And all we've said for the last 37 years is, yes, God, if that's what the assignment is, we'll do it. And so I guess, you know, Duluth, Minnesota, Lewiston, Maine, what we have in common is it's stinking cold in the winter. But we also serve the same God and we're on the same team. So would you come up? Would you, you know, I'm going to end my part, but I want you to come up and say to these folks, I'm in. I don't know what I can do to help, but I'm willing to help. And some of you need to re-sign up. You used to be on that, and you're just sort of drinking at the Brook Cherith because it's so easy around here to drink in so much. And the Lord says, yeah, but I want to move the provision on a little bit here. So come on up and pray, and I'm sure there's other things. Now, if you're sick and, you know, you got financial woes right now and stuff facing you, people will also pray for that. So you come up, let people pray. But I'm really inviting you to come be a part of Team Vineyard from Duluth. And it's a great joy. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. On behalf of the Vineyard, thank you for being who you are. And may God multiply this church literally hundreds of times around the United States. So we're going to worship for a bit, and then we'll see if the Lord's got any more for us. But take that time. Don't be bashful. Come up. Let somebody pray with you. Talk with somebody.